Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 145, the unquilting episode. Yes, I did some quilting, and then I unquilted, or dequilted. I like both, unquilted and dequilted. I can't decide which one I like better. We should probably vote. Tammy, you can't vote because you would change your mind too much. But everyone else could vote. Unquilted or dequilted? Nova Quilt. Quilted it. Had this great idea for medallions. Little small medallions in kind of these areas between the stars. There are 12 stars. So six areas that kind of needed some kind of quilting. And so I quilted these medallions. Probably 6-7 inches in diameter. I don't know. Do one-dimensional, two-dimensional circles have diameter? Just from side to side. One side to the other. Draw a line. Except about maybe 6 inches. 6 to 8 inches. I don't know. Circle, a medallion. And then I did fans in the medallion. So the medallions ended up kind of looking like brains. And that would have been fine if I had done it in white thread, but I didn't. I did it in the thread that I used all over. And at first I thought it was really cool and I really loved it. And then I was just like, you know, it's one of those things. This happens. You got your quilt up on the wall and you walk in on it. Like you're trying to catch it doing something bad, right? You sneak up on your quilt and you're hoping that what your gut will tell you is like, oh, amazing. Although, when you have one of those amazing quilts, you don't really have to sneak up. You know, as soon as you start sneaking up on your quilt to check it out and see how you really feel about it, that alone, that impulse alone, is probably your sign that you're going to have to change it. But anyway, so I was sneaking up on my quilt a lot. Be in the kitchen, go, going to go see what that quilt's up to. You know, and it's the thing is, it's not, if you have a huge mistake or something's really wrong, that's, you know, one thing. That's something like you can't even be in denial about. But when you have the thing that's right on the borderline, could go either way, but really kind of lean into the not working for me, that's the hard thing. Because it's like, but if you squint, it could work, or it would work, it might work for somebody else. There's other people this could work for, maybe just not you. And, you know, and by the time you've had this whole conversation with yourself, you're having this quilt denial discussion, you know, it's not a discussion about quilt denial. You are in denial. You're having this whole denial thing going on. Again, another sign. Just, yeah, suck it up. Sit down and start picking out stitches. But first, I contacted some people. I talk about this in the quilt diaries. I should probably let it go here. But yeah, did some unquilting. And still involved in the process of unquilting because, yeah. Well, if you've ever done machine quilting and you're not that good at it, like me, you know what unquilting involves. Pulling out tiny, tiny stitches from when you kind of lost control of your machine. I hope I will be done this weekend. And I got permission from Jay to do this and some good advice from Daisy. So I hope I'm going to be able to figure it all out. But that's where I am. And I think I started recording Quilt Diaries over a week ago. I actually have absolutely no idea what I said at that time. It's so sad. I'm like, what was I talking about a week ago? I don't know. This is an interesting time. By the way, today is Thursday, September 17th. If you're in Scotland, you've either voted yay or nay. I don't have a pony in that race, but I'm really interested to see what's going to happen. It does sound like the no's are going to win and Scotland will stay part of the UK, but it's kind of cool. You know what I've liked about it? Hearing all these Scottish people on the radio, on NPR, they keep interviewing Scots, and that's like one of my very favorite accents in the world. Maybe even like it more than an Irish accent. I don't know. I really like an Irish accent, but there's something about a Scottish accent. I don't know. My roommate in grad school had a Scottish boyfriend, Rob. I don't really think Rob. I can't do a Scottish accent. Anyway, he was very cute, and he had a great accent. I think a lot of his cuteness was in his accents. No, he was actually a really cute guy, but I loved hearing him talk. Yeah, so it's September 17th, the big vote. I am in huge declutter mode, and here's why. I talk about this in a quilt diary. I think yesterday's quilt diary, talking about it. But I talked more on the, kind of practical. Why the process of decluttering and how I'm going about it. But you know what? There's also kind of a emotional slash spiritual slash creative thing that's taking place too, which is usually, see, I think I'm not feeling clogged, which is kind of gross to say. I'm feeling clogged. It makes me sound like a pore. I'm not feeling, but and I'm actually been writing and and not so certainly not feel. I never get writer's block, so that's not an issue, but have not been feeling like getting a lot of creative energy. Usually I am like really excited about something or another and kind of get stoked up about something or start reading a lot of books about something or even I haven't like been reading my quilt history books and I was really kind of stoked about that. And I think part of my issue right now, I think that my house, I mean, in my house, by the way, if you came over, other than the fact there's all this boxes of stuff that I'm trying to get out to Goodwill lying all over the house, you wouldn't walk through and go, "Oh, what a mess. This is horrible." I mean, in fact, partly because all the mess is upstairs. I don't like my downstairs messy. It's kind of, it's there's a cozy kind of, it's not pristine and we're not minimalist people, but it's not messy. You would not be scared for me if you came into my house. I don't think you'd even be scared for me if you went into my attic. And yet, nonetheless, I think there are things I want to do to my house and they can't be done until we declutter, clean out, do a deep clean. And then we can look at making some changes, and not major changes, but just this and that. But then it's one thing at a time. It's got to start with the decluttering. And we've lived in this house for 7 years, and that's one thing that occurred to me today. It's like moving is the great declutterer, right? And we haven't moved for 7 years. And in that 7 years, Will has gone from being 5 to being 12, and that's quite a few developmental stages he has gone through, which means quite a lot of stuff that Santa Claus has brought him. And there's a certain period of time where you don't want to throw out the old stuff because your kid might still want to play with it. Will's almost 12. He'll be 12 on Halloween, and there's a lot of stuff that can go. He's never going to play with again. There are books he's not going to read or won't read again. Of course, I will save his favorite books, and I saved all the really good picture books from when the boys were little, the books that we really loved and read over and over. But now there are a lot of books that I can give away, and I have been giving away a lot of books, which is something that sort of wrenches my soul to do, but it must be done. So, yes, the big declutter project, and I'm curious to see once it's done, what will that feel like? Will I actually then kind of feel more creative, feel more, I don't, the thing is I don't feel depressed, I'm not sad, I'm not unproductive. So it's not like I'm trying to dig myself out of a hole, but I wonder if I will feel in some way freer and clearer and more focused. I hope so. If nothing else, I'll have a clean house that's not cluttered up, and that will feel really good. And I like it when the house is clean. I like it when it's neat. We're doing some work on our bedroom. We just got new curtains for the first time in 7 years, and yeah, so that those are going up this weekend. Very exciting. I think I'm going to get a headboard for our bed. Very exciting stuff. Yeah, so just stuff that needs to happen, and I'll be interesting to see the result once it happens. So this is not, perhaps this is sort of the equivalent of putting in a new kitchen. Although, good Lord, not going to do that right now. One day, though, I would like to do that. That's way. That's two college tuitions. Getting past those away. So, anyway, so that's where I am. I've gotten so many great comments, and it's a thrill to hear from everyone. And it's, I have to say, as I've said, especially nice to hear from people I've never heard from, the ones who are saying, "I have listened to you from the very beginning." And, again, and I get that because there are plenty of podcasts I've listened to for years and have never commented. I just enjoy them and look forward to them. I did. I heard from somebody who, oh, it was Mary Ann, laughing about the Fitbit. When you take on new Fitbit friends, and then you fall in the standings. All right, so right now over on Fitbit. So the Fitbit, I'm sure everyone's heard of Fitbit, but on Fitbit there's a quilters, and it may be quilt podcasters or quilt casters group, if you want to know the exact name, and you want to get on it. Well, just friend me and or just email me and I'll figure it out. Anyway, yes, so Brenda F. I friended Brenda F, kind of regretting it, although I'm sure Brenda F is a really nice person, but now she's just like miss kicking my butt every time. So now I'm like down middle of the pack. Yes, Philippa is now, I think she was not feeling well for a while. Now she is ahead of Terry. Ahead of Terry. But I have some news embedded in the podcast, and I just want to tell you, Philippa, Terry, Brenda, and Jackie B, watch out. Things are going to change 2 weeks from, a week and a half from now. I will be number one with a bullet. You'll find out why on this podcast. Anyway, thank you everyone for commenting. Keep those comments coming because you've got till September 30th to comment on any of the most recent podcasts. I guess where did this start? Like from episode maybe 142? Through, yeah, I think probably the last few podcasts, and there may be one more before the 30th, but do comment and you will be entered for a drawing every time you comment or email. And the drawing is for a 25 gift certificate from the Fat Quarter Shop, one of my very favorite online quilt shops. Comment at theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com or email me at F as in Francis, Dowell as in do well, at NC as in North Carolina .rr.com. Leave me a comment. Tell me about yourself. Every time you comment, you can comment more than once. Every time you comment on an episode, you will be entered. So yay, I'd love hearing from you and keep those comments coming. Okay, well, we better get on with the Quilt Diaries. And oh, one more thing with the unquilting, dequilting. I have pictures of the brain medallion. You'll see what I mean. It just does. Looks like brain. Looks like folds of the brain, my little fans. And then the unquilted, dequilted medallion. They're not great pictures, but you know me. If you've been with me for any amount of time, you know that none of my pictures are good, so you don't really expect that from me. But yes, I will put those up so you can see the kind of mess I've made. Yes. All right, on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, day one. It's Thursday, September 4th. Yay, September. I like September. I like fall. Not that it's fall, but we've got some weather moving in. Yeah, we do. And next week it's going to be like in the upper 70s, low 80s, which is really nice. Not what we have right now, but that's okay. Why am I posting this diary? Just want to. Here's the thing. I have advice. Mostly I need advice. Any of you machine quilters, long armors, whatever, as I'm going through this whole how to quilt a quilt thing, if you got advice, give it to me. I will take it. Here's my advice for you. Don't make decisions about your quilts late at night, which is what I did last night. So I'm still quilting Nova. I'm close to being done. But what I've decided to do, all right, there are, let's say I'm looking over at my quilt. I think they're like 16 stars, and each star, we know we've got the super block, the sub blocks, and the super block, and I've quilted each super block. There are six sort of open spaces in the quilt that I studied for a while and thought, and for a while I thought, do I do anything? I could leave them be, but I just felt like they needed something. And I got an idea to do a small medallion in each place, which is to say a circle with something in it, and what's in the center is the fan pattern. I should say, now I'm doing this, I'm machine quilting, I'm free motion quilting, so I'm not stenciling this stuff in. And so really my fans, it's sort of cool. They kind of look like brains. You know, like the folds of a brain. That's how my fans have kind of come out, and it's cool looking. I've decided that one way to judge your quilting on a quilt is to see how it looks in the back, and if it's super cool looking in the back, then it's all good. And mine is actually looks pretty cool in the back. Anyway, so decided to do these medallions using the same color of thread that I quilted the super blocks, which is it's a really pretty blue. It's not too dark, and not too light. It's a nice medium blue. Anyway, I decided that's what I was going to do, and so I did three of them, and I liked how they looked until about last night at 11. So the man and I are watching The Wire, and I decided to use that time to clip threads from the back of the quilt, what I've done so far, kind of just doing a cleanup job. And for some reason, I started examining the medallions, and I like the look itself. I like the brainy medallion, the medallion of brains. Look that, but I thought, you know, what would have been so cool would have been to do it in white. Yes, that's what I should do. This was a huge mistake using the same blue. I should have used white. These are white spaces. Well, it's not really white. It's a batik with the lightest green. I mean, it really reads white, but it's actually, I would say the batik is if you took white and put a drop of green. A drop of blue green and let it spread out. So it was almost white, but not quite. There was still up. And then the batik itself is really kind of dots. I mean, irregular dots, but sort of a small dot. It's very pretty. And again, from any distance, it pretty much reads white. And I thought, I should have quilted it in white. And so I started picking out one of the medallions. Now, I apparently didn't get that far because this morning I came down and thought the medallions look fine, quilted in the blue. It's a blue green, quilted in the blue green. They look cool. And also, the thing I always have to remind myself of, which is once you wash the quilt, the stitches recede. Your quilting stitches recede into the puffiness of the quilt. And so it's not that you don't see it at all, but that they don't stand out quite as much. So I thought, okay, well, that's fine. And I just have three more medallions to do. Great, except for that part about where I started picking out the threads of one, the stitches of one of the medallions. And now I can't find, the good news is I just did a few because I didn't have my really scary, stitch picker. See, here I go again in my perimenopausal brain going, what do we call that? We don't call it a stitch picker. Don't call it a stitch remover. Whatever. But it's a scary one that Sandy from Quilting from the Rest of Us recommended last year, and I got it for Christmas. It's so scary, and I lost the cap to it. It's somewhere. My quilting area is a mess right now, and it's there. So now I have to stick this thing. It's so scary. You can't just let it sit around. It's scary, like if someone broke into my house, I'd be like, excuse me, I need to go to my sewing area, and I would grab it. Not that I would ever be able to cut somebody, but but it is cool. I mean, you could hold it up and scare somebody with it. I really think it's that scary. Anyway, so now I have it stuck in a ball of yarn until that cap shows up, which I hope it will sooner or later. But the ball of yarn seems to work pretty well right now. Yes. So I didn't have that. I just had my thread snipper. So I only, and the stitches were pretty close and tight. So I just thought, oh, this is silly to do this now. I'll do it tomorrow. But now I can't find where I clipped those threads to re-sew them. So that could come out in the wash, couldn't it? Literally, figuratively, always. So don't make the, I mean, you can make the decision that this is not working at 11 o'clock at night, but don't do anything about it. Just let it go. Say, I'll be fine in the morning. I'll get it in the morning. This is cool. Good night. Yeah. So, yeah. Good for me. Good for me. Anyway, I am going to get my sewing area cleaned up, and I'm actually not working in my usual sewing area because when I quilt, I move to the dining room table. So everything is a mess in the whole area because then I have to move all my stuff off the dining room table. Here's the issue. So anyway, it's Thursday morning. It's almost 11, and I have been working on the attic. I'm waiting for notes from my editor. I was actually working on a different writing project, and then I got an email from my editor. She could, after right after Labor Day, just let me know. She was back in town and she was going to have notes for me in a couple days. And so I've completely abandoned the project I was working on, the writing project, because there's no use in getting more creatively invested in it right now. Because when I get my editor's notes, I go right back to work on that book, on the book I'm working on with my editor right now. And so I thought, well, I'll just take a couple of days, you know, to clean up. And but you know, the problem, our problem, it's a big problem. It's not really a problem at all. First world problem, definitely. So we have a walk-in attic, which is nice, except for the fact any of you guys who have walk-in attics or any kind of walk-in storage areas know you just chuck everything in there. And over the years, I've done a fairly good job. Every year, I've kind of gone in there and created spaces, but it's junked up again. One of our problems, you know, the man is a wonderful man, and I love him dearly. You know, we just celebrated our 20th anniversary this summer, and he's still my favorite person, and I'm really glad I married him. But he will, if he needs something, he will take it. I've had to be very specific with him about my sewing scissors, for instance. You may not use these for your projects. He will take Tupperware, like your favorite Tupperware. He did this. He took my favorite piece, you know, the stuff that actually the lids work. It's like he'll take it and he'll run off with it to do some project in the garage. Believe you me, he will do that. So then I have to point out, it's like, you may never, ever touch these pieces of Tupperware. And he's good. If you, and I have put my name on stuff, I'll say, this is Francis's Tupperware. Because you just have to. But if you tell him what the rules are, he obeys the rules. But if you don't, he'll just take your stuff. He will take your stuff. So at some point up in the attic, we had some nice shelves, not nice shelves, but really just the kind you get at Lowe's or Home Depot. Storage shelves, Lowe's, three metal kind of, you know, so not fancy at all. And we had puzzles and games on those shelves. Well, then the man needed some shelves just like that to start his tomatoes. This was a few years ago. So he took my shelves. He was the one who bought the shelves and put them together. So I guess he felt like they were his shelves, but they weren't. Once he put them in my attic, they were my shelves. He took them. We've never recovered from that loss, from that theft of those shelves. Never. Never, ever. He took three of them. So that, then the puzzles and the games are on the floor, and they start mating and make more puzzles and games on the floor. But the problem is, I feel like our organizational life is at a standstill because of that attic. There's stuff that really needs to go in there, but there's a lot of stuff that really needs to come out. And so this morning, I can't do it. I get overwhelmed by it. It's too big. So this morning, I just like brought down five things. It's like there's games of like Will's old games or stuff that there's some stuff I will take over to the rescue mission kind of Goodwill Center because it's boxed, it's whole, it's, you know, I don't like giving junk to Goodwill or rescue mission or wherever you're giving it, but anything that's just like stuffed animals, the ones that don't have sentimental value, I'll take over there. The stuff that kind of, you know, is a mess, doesn't have its original box, is kind of has most pieces, but maybe not all pieces, I can at least try to free cycle. And that's what I'm doing. But free cycle means that, you know, for me, I need just a few. If I want to get stuff done, things can't have more than three steps involved. The easiest thing for me to do is like go through books and clothes upstairs, things that can be just put in bags and boxes, brought down to the car, take them to Goodwill or to the library to donate books, right? That's very simple. When you throw in the step of having to do the free cycle email, describing what you have, and then making arrangements for people to pick stuff up, you know, it's just like for me, I know I'm a delicate flower and I'm overwhelmed by it, but I must do it because I'm just feeling right now. We have been in this house 7 years. Some changes need to be made. And one of the changes, we're doing stuff like, so Will's bedroom, where he has slept for 6.5 of our 7 years here, or maybe 6¾, there's always been a problem in the summer because it's right smack up against the walk-in attic and gets very hot because the attic is not well insulated. So this summer, I finally figured out a plan, which we moved his bed into my study, moved the chair, my great recliner, moved that into Will's bedroom, moved one of my bookcases into the attic, and moved Will's bed into the study. And he's been so happy because it's nice and cool in the study. The study does not jut up against the attic. But now we've got Will's room, his old bedroom, which we're calling his lounge, which he wants to turn into a man cave. So last week, he went on his class trip. They went to Camp Cheerio for 3 days. This is when you go to Fancy Pants Private School. This is where, like, half your tuition money is going for these camping trips. I'm like, hey, why not give us, like, a 10% cut on tuition and let them go out to the playground and make s'mores? Really, that would be fine by me. But no, they go to Camp Cheerio, which is up in the mountains. And he and his friend John, they were on a long hike, and they came up with the idea of having a man cave and a couple options. One bonus room in John's house, which he felt sure his mother would be very excited about converting into a man cave for all the sixth grade boys who are into Carolina sports. Yeah. And the idea was flat screen TV, refrigerator, chairs, whatever. Funnily enough, John's mom was not really big on the idea of turning her bonus room into a man cave for Caroline, for sixth grade boys to hang out and grab Cokes out of the mini fridge that they would have up there. So now it's up to us. And we've actually told Will we have a TV he could take up there if he really wanted his friends to his lounge. If they want, you know, the way the kids are scheduled this day, the idea that the man cave boys could get together more than once a season, really unlikely. But we do have a TV that that's very light. He could take upstairs on game day, and no mini fridge, but we would get a cooler and put drinks in there. And so, you know, so he's kind of into it. But it does mean it's like his room, the lounge area, really needs, not just for man cave reasons. I just love the idea of his friend, he and his friend, coming up with this great idea and just being sure that that John's mom would be like, oh, sure, take over the bonus room. That's fine. But one of the things, once we move the bed, that Will and I have been talking about this summer is making his old bedroom more, you know, a place where he and his friends could hang out. And we actually got a foosball table, which is so fun. I recommend it. Even if you don't have kids, get yourself a foosball table. It's good to have two people involved. And that's actually, once the man put it together, we realized with the handles, it doesn't fit through any door in our house. So, and he put it together downstairs, not upstairs, but we're actually having lots of fun with it downstairs. But that's going to go up to Will's lounge. But anyway, there's a lot of stuff that needs to happen to actually make that room kind of a fun room, as opposed to a room now with a big desk and a recliner. I mean, it's a nice room, and I think Will likes it, likes having that extra space. But, and then we need to kind of make my study a little bit more bedroomish. Right now, it's very funky, weird mom study with a dollhouse in it. Yeah, so, but for all that to happen, the attic needs to be orderly, have space, what have you. So, that's a very long story to tell you what I'm up to this morning. And doing work I really, really hate to do, with the idea that if we do get the attic organized, my life will be totally different. I mean, it's good now. I don't actually need a huge change in my life, but that somehow this household will function in such a much better way. It just feels undone in some way, as in unfinished, right? And now Will's two rooms sort of are the representation, are the manifestation of the unfinishedness, because they exist in this neither here nor there spot. I want to have their places in my house. I want Will's bedroom to be a bedroom and his lounge to be sort of a hangout room, a game room. Yeah, I want my sewing area to be a defined sewing area. So on and on and on. I hope at this point you're just not really listening, that you're doing the dishes. So, but I wanted to tell you one more thing, before I let you go for today, or for at least this morning, who knows, maybe I'll have interesting things to tell you this afternoon. I'm just procrastinating. Carol recommended a great quilting book to me that I just got called Quilt as Desired. It is by Charlene C. Frable. It is your guide to straight line and free motion quilting. And every page I open it up to, I'm like, oh, that's really cool. That's really helpful. So thank you, Carol. Will I do a full review of it? Well, you've heard me review books before, and you probably don't even want me to do a full review, but someday I'm going to come in before you and say, let me tell you all the wonderful things I know now about machine quilting. Today is not that day, but I did want to share that book with you. All right, back to the attic. See you soon. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Saturday, September 6th. It's about 11:30, and I'm hoping that I'm not about to make a huge mistake. That sounds so dramatic. I might be making a huge mistake. Will she make the biggest mistake of her life? Stay tuned. Now, the mistake has to do with correcting an error. Okay, so finished quilting the main body of Nova. Yesterday, quilted the borders. I really am enjoying this book, Quilt as Desired. And I looked up. It's a very short section about borders, quilting borders, and it just said, you can kind of do whatever you want. I thought, you know what? You kind of can with the border. And I ended up just doing my double swans. But I did a variation. I made some big, some small. So it really looks like some funky, puzzling, crazy birds. I like it. But there was pleating. And I didn't realize that until after I had put on the binding on top. And I don't know how that happened, that I did not look at the bottom of the quilt at all. It's a big quilt, so I'm sure I looked at sections, but did not get the whole bird's eye view. So last night I sat down and I had put on the binding on the top, was about to start hand stitching it to the back, and that's where I saw that I had pleats. Just a little flock of pleats in one area, and easy to get the stitches out. Fortunately, the stitches were not tight. Some of my stitches are kind of loose. I'm not consistent yet with them. That's all right. I'm learning. This is practice for my next quilt, says my friend Annie Smith. So I got them out, but the problem is that sometimes you can, with pleating, you can kind of press out the pleats and everything's fine. But as it turns out, I was just pushing fabric toward the edge of the quilt, and clearly I had to unstitch the binding, and then then smooth out the fabric, and now the fabric goes over the edges of the quilt, and now I'm going to have to cut that fabric, and that scares me because that I could really mess it up. So fingers crossed, I'm not going to mess it up. I will be very, very careful when I do that. But once I get that done, then I have to sew the binding back on, and then we will do the hand stitching, sewing the binding to the back, and then I'll have a quilt that is done. And I think it's possible I'll have it done by tomorrow night. We shall see. I'm going to my book club potluck tonight, so that's going to take out a big chunk of time. But I don't have much to do this afternoon except for laundry, and I might clean my laundry room, which is the size of a closet. It is a closet. No big, funky, wonderful, airy, spacious laundry room for me. I have a small, really orange closet. And that's never going to change as long as we live in this house. And I suspect we're going to live in this house for 15 more years. So that's how it goes. I'm okay with it. My life is really good in so many other ways. But it needs, even though it's small, it needs cleaning. So I may do that. But otherwise, I'm going to stitch. I am going to lift weights. I got a strength training program off of Amazon. And I'll put a link to that. It costs $10. And yeah, it's like for old people. Not old, old, but like the woman who's doing it, whose name, of course, I could not tell you what her name is. But, she looks like she's like a really healthy 60. Like, looks about my speed because I'm a really healthy 50, but I haven't done a lot of strength training. I do, in the summer I do a lot of gardening. But I just need to be doing strength training pretty regularly. And then I'm also going to do some Wii yoga, which I'm not, the Wii Fit yoga, which I'm sure is not
really all that great, but you do a lot of breathing, and that's good. So hopefully I'm going to do some yoga today and a little strength training, but otherwise we'll be sewing. And so fingers crossed that I'll have this quilt done by Monday, and fingers crossed that the darker batiks won't bleed in the wash. And we have our fingers crossed for so fingers crossed I won't mess it up right now as I'm cutting fabric, trimming fabric, I guess is a better way to put it. So that is what's going on. I also, my next task, obviously learning how to machine quilt well is an ongoing and long-term project, but one of the things I have gotten very bad at, I've lost my zen on joining binding strips. Not when I'm making the long strip, but once I have sewn on the binding to the quilt, joining, seaming the beginning end of, and the beginning and ending of the binding. I used to be able to do it. I learned how to do that when I took my machine quilting one class at Thimble Pleasures, where we made a whole quilt together, and Karen showed us how to do it. And for a while, I didn't seem to have a problem, and I have totally lost my zen. So it just looks terrible. And last night I watched a video on Quilty, which I'm sad to say did not help me. I think that there were certain places where the camera work was not good. But I also, mostly I learned by messing stuff up. So I'm hoping, I need to find a video that's going to really, there's a neat way you can do it. You know, where you're folding the strips back and seaming them, and then, you know, they all come together. But I ended up kind of making something up that worked. But I'll never be able to replicate it, so I need to really learn how to do that. And I have a question for you. I have a question. I was thinking about this last night as I was doing my mitered corners, which I learned to do in my class. And I was thinking, I was really glad to learn how to do that straight off. And I'm wondering if everyone doesn't learn how to do that straight off, because I feel like I see so many articles, not just in magazines like Quilty, which are geared toward beginning quilters, but other magazines as well. It's like, here's how you do mitered corners. And I'm thinking, and I wonder if that's something that people don't do as a matter of course. And again, thinking, I'm really glad I know how to do that. And it's, you know, I had to practice it many times to get it right, but I do know how to do that. So my question for you is, what are you glad that you learned very early on as a quilter? What skill did you learn that has just come in handy, and you're glad you learned it because that means you didn't have to unlearn the wrong way and learn the right way, and, you know, just that, the whole pain of that. That's my question for you. So answer it, please. In the meantime, I'm going to go, fingers crossed, but then straightened, because I need them straight, but finish fixing up where the mistakes I made, and hoping that all will be well. I'll let you know. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 3. It's Monday, September 8th, I think. And I have washed and dried Nova. Now, the good news is the colors did not leak. They did not bleed. I think there was a touch of bleeding the first time around, so I didn't dry it. I just washed it again. First time I washed it like with 8, those Shout color catchers, and they came out very blue. And then the second time, so I washed it again, and it seems fine. It's funny. I think I mentioned this the other day, that the background fabric reads pretty white, but it's not actually. And so any bleeding was very light, and it really mixes in with the background, which is also a batik. So so that looks good. The problem is I'm not happy with the quilting, and I'm particularly not happy with my medallions, which I had thought about picking out, and then thought, no, I like them. And now, with the done quilt, I feel they're distractions. I'm not even sure I really like the larger medallions in the center of the star. So I've actually just put the word out on Twitter to the Twilters, like, what would you do? And I've emailed Jay, my quilting guru, to say, can I requilt? And if I were to requilt, I guess the first thing I would do would take out the small medallions. I just find them distracting.
I really do. And maybe it's just because I'm so focused on them, but I don't like them. They look like brains. So that's a problem. But I do. I just don't think they add anything to the quilt. And yeah, the other quilting I wish I had used on the darker stars, the darker fabrics, a darker thread, because it just stands out too much for my tastes. But it's funny because there's five dark stars, and three of them I can live with the quilting. I don't know what it is about the other two where the quilting stands out and I don't love it. It just looks a little messy. And I think here's where when you're machine quilting, there's certain things you want to either be A, a lot better than I am, or B, you want to take your quilt to a long armor because she's going to do a better job or be able to realize your vision better than you can. But I'm being patient. I've heard from a couple people. I've heard from Pam over at Hip to Be Square and Gretchen, one of the very active twilters, and they both have given their okay, although Pam points out that, you know, fabrics have shrunk during the drying process, and there may be some puckering, there may be some ramifications to requilting. But I just, and you know, the medallions are fairly densely quilted, but my hope is that once I took out the thread and washed again, that would come out. I don't know what to do. In this case, I just don't. Actually, I'm looking at it and I like all of a sudden have ideas for that space, but you know what? I think I would do it in white. I'm not even sure that space needs to be quilted, is the interesting thing. I don't know what to do. So I'm hoping that the twilters can help me, or Jay, that someone's going to say, you know, I mean, if on the one hand, it seems like, wow, this will be a lot of work to pick that stuff out. I mean, it will take me days to do it. But I would rather, one, my friend Nancy, she doesn't know this quilt is coming, so it's not like she's sitting around looking, you know, tapping her watch going, where's the quilt? She doesn't even know it exists. So, and I would just rather send something that I'm happy with. I mean, so I don't feel, you know, I like thinking what Annie Smith says, is like this quilt, every quilt you work on, it's practice for the next quilt. And I think that's such sane, good advice. I love it. And I wish that I could just look at this quilt and go, okay, yeah, this is practice for the next one. I was like, no. So anyway, I'm going to tell you one other thing because it's really cool. I emailed Barbara Brackman with a quilt history question, and she emailed me back. It's interesting. It took a week. So my question was, so I have been reading about quilt competitions back in the day, and particularly about the 1933 Sears quilt competition. I'm trying to remember if Susan, the history quilter, talked about this, because somehow I got hip to it, and I don't know if I was reading something else or listening to Susan or what it was. But so this 1933 World's Fair was in Chicago. So Sears did this big quilting contest, and it was national. So when they, in the early 1933, they sent out their catalogs and they advertised it and said, if you're, you know, quilters, do you want to make some money? And I think the grand prize was maybe $1,000 or $2,000, one or the other, but it was a lot of money. I think I looked it up and it would have been close to $20,000 in today's dollars. I mean, it was a lot of money. And this is 1933, so we're in the heart of the Depression. So this is like twice what people made, like annual salary. So anyway, some people anyway. I think the average annual salary at that time was like $500. Well, that interested me. And, you know, if you start reading about something, it leads you to the next thing. It's sort of like, you know, hypertext, except not such a huge waste of time. But I got to thinking, and I've been reading these quilt history books, and, you know, so often, unless they are specifically about African-American quilters, oftentimes African-American quilters
don't play a large role. Now, I've only read a few sort of the state history documentation projects, and I will say there was one for Tennessee for the Depression, about quilt making in the Depression that was fairly focused in Tennessee, and I do believe in that book there is a chapter about African-American quilting. But anyway, I started wondering as I was reading various things about, you know, quilt contests and competitions, and they were very popular. And I wondered if African-American quilt makers entered them. Now, in the South, yeah, first, I mean, there's so many factors, but I think the answer is no. I think social custom alone would have kept African-American quilters from entering, say, the state and county fairs, into the quilt competitions there. You know, and women and African-Americans in the South in general were so poor and worked so much that obviously we know that people were making quilts, but there's a difference between making a quilt as, you know, for necessity, making it for, you know, your need for creative expression, and making a quilt to enter into a contest. That's a different beast. So I don't think it was an issue in the South, but I wondered about in the North. Did African-American women enter these state and county fairs? Were most African-Americans? I mean, my assumption is that most African-Americans who migrated out of the South migrated to urban areas. So anyway, so I emailed Barbara Brackman via her website and asked. It's like, you know, did African-American women enter these contests, these quilting contests? And about a week later, so this was like a week ago Saturday, and a week later she emailed me back and said, you know, to my knowledge, no. But and she said that she and her friend Questa Benberry, now Questa Benberry is African-American quilt historian, very well known. She passed away, I don't know how long ago. I don't think it was that long ago. If you said 2008, that would sound right to me. And she said that she and her good friend, her dear friend Questa Benberry, had investigated that question a little bit, and particularly in terms of the, I think I'm misquoting now, but anyway, but had not found anything to suggest that Black women did enter these competitions. And so I wrote back and said thank you, and said the thing about that, you know, given that state and county fairs were largely for and attended by agricultural communities and rural people, and that my understanding was that most African Americans migrated to urban areas, that maybe that would suggest in itself that they would not have entered those kind of contests, that the African American quilters would not have. And she wrote back and said, "Oh no, Frances." You know, so she's like, "Call me Frances." It was really cool. She said, "You know, there are a lot of African Americans who moved, you know, she's in Kansas, she's from Kansas, and from the South, who moved up during the Great Migration and earlier and established towns in Kansas and Oklahoma and various places." So that was interesting. So yeah, anyway, so my little email exchange with Barbara Brackman, it was very nice, and I'm sure she's a very busy woman, and I was, you know, kind of bent over backwards to say, "Hey, I appreciate your time and thank you and all of that," because I do appreciate her time. I appreciated it, you know, that, and I thought it was very fun that we had this little email exchange. And in fact, I was at my book group meeting when I got her first email Saturday night, which was fun. My meeting was fun. It was good to see everybody. It was neat because one of the women in my book group who's been there a couple years, her name is Monica, and she is from Finland, although she's actually from the Swedish community. Apparently there is in the one corner of Finland, there's a very strong Swedish community. In fact, so her first language is Swedish, her second is Finnish, and her third is English. But she and her family moved to this area a couple years ago, and we were their mentor family at Durham Academy. And so I invited her to join our book group, and she has, but she's very, very quiet. I mean, I think her nature is to be quiet and a little bit shy. And for some reason on Saturday night, she started talking, and it was great. She's very funny. She's quite delightful. So that was neat, and it was a nice time. But as yeah, so it started at 6, and we ate, and everybody brought great food, and Liz was back from England and had all sorts of good stories, and she's just one of my favorite people anyway, so it was so good to see her. And then, you know, about 9, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. And we were there till about 11:05. And I did not drive. My friend Carla drove. And later she said, yeah, I was kind of about ready to go about 9:30 or 10, but I didn't want to be the one to break up the party. And I was like, yeah, me too. But that's how it goes. But so at some point I was looking something up for somebody on my phone and my email came up and there was my email from Barbara Brackman. I did not tell everybody, oh, I just got an email from Barbara Brackman, because they would not have known that this very famous quilt historian, well, they wouldn't have known who she was. But I knew, and I was excited, and I thought it was very kind and gracious of Ms. Brackman to respond. So I thought I would share that with you, just a little more name-dropping on my part. Have I mentioned that I'm friends with Annie Smith? Yes. Drink up, Quilt and Jenny. Okay. I will be back, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, and I will tell you what I've decided to do, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be patient and wait to hear from some of the other quilters and wait to hear from Jay, my quilting guru. I think that's how I always refer to her from now on, my quilting guru, Jay, and just to get a little bit more advice, but yeah, I need to be able to live with what I've done. I just do. All right, more soon. Bye. Quilt Diary might be day 4. I'm not sure. It's been a little while since I last recorded. Last we spoke, I was pondering the quilting of the Nova quilt, whether or not I could actually take the quilting out because I didn't like it. I didn't like the medallions. And I was waiting to hear from Jay, my guru. And she said I could, and a couple other people also gave me some feedback, including Daisy, Lazy Daisy, who I think is also someone who can be trusted. Tammy also said I could do that, but Tammy right now does not get to vote in these things because, yes, she has abused her voting privileges in the past. Tammy, maybe next question I have, you can vote, but for now, Yes, anyway, so everyone says I can take out the quilting, and Daisy's recommendation was to steam and wash before re-quilting. So I've taken out a couple of medallions. It takes forever because, you know, see, when I quilt, my stitches are either too big or too small, and there's a lot of really teeny-tiny, really going fast and too tight kind of stitches in this quilting. Now, what's happened, so I think I have unquilted, 2 medallions, maybe 3. I'm kind of hoping that I'm on 3, but I'm not sure. But, you know, what's interesting is it actually looks pretty cool. I get this kind of neat medallion pattern, but without the color, and it's more the color I object to, and the sort of the fact that the design makes the medallions look like brains. That's problematic, like round brains. I did a good job of making the medallions circular, but yes, so round brains. Not really what I was looking for, but you know, when you don't have the thread in there, it's kind of cool looking. So, I mean, I hope that it mostly will steam out and wash out. But even if it doesn't, I'm not that bothered by it. And I don't know what I'm going to... You know, I don't know what I will do, if I will do anything in those spots. The other thing I think I'm going to do is there are a couple... so every star has a larger medallion, brain medallion in the center. But there are only a couple really dark ones where that the brainy medallion shows up. I may actually just re-quilt those, which starts with de-quilting them, and then re-quilt them, just using doing kind of the same quilting, but in a darker thread that doesn't show up. That's what I'm thinking about doing. I'm very happy with the quilting on the lighter blocks, and it all looks really cool on the back, I should say. But anyway, I should tell you, this whole process will take forever. I'm hoping I'll have it done in a couple weeks. I'm hoping, you know, the new Ken Burns documentary about the Roosevelts is showing on PBS, and we're taping it. Not really taping it. We're DVRing it, I guess. And so that's my hope is, we haven't started watching it, so by tonight we'll have 3 episodes. So I may start watching those and de-quilting. It really takes a long time. I kind of enjoy it, weirdly enough. You know, if it's just like, I don't know. If you don't look at it as, wow, it took me 5 minutes to quilt these things, or maybe more than that. Let's say it took 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and it's taking an hour to de-quilt.
Yeah, really more than an hour. Within an hour, I'm almost done. Let's say an hour and 15 minutes. So I have made a lot of work for myself, but I don't really mind it, you know, and it's not like a race. It's not like there's a deadline, but still, there are other things I'd like to get onto, and I have not done a lot of, you know, I thought that what I would do is be de-quilting at night, watching TV, and then in the afternoon, work on the mosaic quilt. And the only reason I haven't really done that, last week was kind of funky for one thing. Both boys were sick at some point, not bad sick, just, you know, colds that were bad enough to miss a day of school. They each missed a day of school, different days, and that kind of throws me off my routine and my schedule. But I'm also doing a big declutter, a big purge, and am actually making progress. It's a weird setup. So, you know, our problem is my problem. Well, there's many, many problems. But essentially, we need to get rid of a lot of stuff. And I'm sure I've talked about our big walk-in attic, which in some ways is really great, except that instead of getting rid of stuff at the point it really needs to be gotten rid of, you just put it in the attic. And there's certain things it's hard to know what to do with, or if we're really done. Like, are we really done with Lego? You know, I kind of think we almost are, but, you know, now suddenly Will's into Lego robotics. He's in the Lego Robotics Club. I don't quite know how that happened. It's not something I would have suspected he would have been interested in, but here he is doing that, which is cool. So it's like, do we keep the Lego? I mean, and I can just ask him, should we keep the Lego? And keeping the Lego is not a huge problem. It's keeping all the humongous Star Wars Legos kit boxes. And I think I may be fooling myself, the idea that that there's any way to reconstitute the kits, not reconstitute the Lego, but just reconstitute the kit. So I think maybe just the thing to do is give up on that, put all the Lego in one big box, and then just it's there. But there are other things too. And, you know, so I'm taking stuff to the rescue mission, taking free cycling stuff. Free cycling I love because you can get rid of stuff that you wouldn't really take to Goodwill or the rescue mission because it's not properly packaged. You know, you can go on free cycle and say, listen, this got missing pieces, or it kind of works, or, you know, it's in pretty cruddy shape, but someone might find some use for it. But you can't take stuff to Goodwill and put a note saying, yeah, I know this isn't great, but maybe someone could use it. You can do that on free cycle, which I like. But yeah, where was I going with that? Can't remember. Anyway, but oh, I know the problem. My only thing with free cycles, I find it a little stressful because whenever I free cycle something, I always get tons of responses. And I get what I realized the other day, I free cycled something and got like immediate responses. I can't remember what was it. It was something good. But anyway, and I just always like first come, first serve. But I always feel like I should write everyone back and say, thanks for your interest, but it's already been taken, which I kind of feel I do. But I also have to remember that I get the digest version, so I get everything. You know, I get a couple of free cycle emails a day, but other people are getting every email that comes in, which is how they're responding so quickly. So as soon, and I'm very good about as soon as I've contacted the person who's going to pick this stuff up, is putting an email into the free cycle listserv saying item taken, so people know it's taken right away too. These people, if they're getting every email that comes in, they know it's taken right away. But still, I just feel like, you know, I don't want to be rude. I probably need to get over that and just be good about, you know, making sure that, yeah, that I post an email immediately that this has been taken. But it feels like a lot of pressure. I hate disappointing people. But nonetheless, I have lots of stuff to free cycle. I'm finding the trick with the attic is to actually, the boxes that are just full of junk that, you know, you went into a child's room and just swept every little piece of junk off the floor and threw it in a box and threw that box in the attic, which is why we have an attic problem to begin with. I just take it downstairs and watch a movie. Stream something or listen to a podcast and go through it. And of course, most of it gets thrown away. But if it's downstairs and where I can actually be comfortable and deal with it, I will. But it's very overwhelming to stand there in the huge mess that is our attic and try to sort stuff and deal with stuff. So I found that's really good. Although now my sewing area is just full of stuff. But a lot of it is actually books, which I will take to the library as well as to our fine school, which has a used book sale every year. So and that's what I'm working on, is getting books out of the house. But anyway, to get the whole house organized, it's mostly the upstairs. It's getting stuff out of the house. So you go kind of, I don't know, it's just a cycle. You keep going round and round. Get stuff out of the attic, and then you create a space, and then you get stuff out of Will's room, and you put that in the space, the stuff you're not getting rid of. But then you have to create new space. It will take a while. It's going to be my big fall project. And the man and I were talking the other day that what we'd actually like to do with that big attic, once we get it in shape, is to finish it, because eventually we want to put a new air conditioning unit into our house, so we have upstairs, downstairs air conditioning. And at that time, we will need to do something to the attic to finish it, and actually make that into a library and archive. We are writers and photographers, and we do have materials that we're not going to get rid of, and books we're not going to get rid of. So and I really like that idea, so that's what I'm working toward right now. Ha! It's going to happen. It really is. My other big news is I am getting a treadmill desk. It's a Lifespan something, TR something, and I am really excited. And Terry, I am looking at you, because you are like number one with a bullet. Now that you're better, now that you're healed, always ahead. 120,000 steps a week. I am coming after you with this treadmill, my friend. I went over to a friend of mine's house on Saturday to try hers. So it's just a treadmill. It's a smaller version than the one you would find at a gym. Much smaller, very sleek, although wide enough so you're not hitting the sides. And then it's a desk that is adjustable. And I tried out my friend Dana's, and she had her laptop set up, and I said the speed was very low. It was like 1.5 miles an hour, and I really liked it. And that's so slow that you really, in some ways, don't feel yourself moving all that much. Dana goes faster, but she's had it for a while. My concern was really motion sickness, and I didn't feel that at all. So I have ordered it. It's a big tax write-off for me, so that's exciting. Doesn't mean it's free, but it means... it'll get us some money in the end. So it's going to be here in a couple weeks, and I can't wait. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to, right now I am in the middle of the Fitbit pack. That's like when I'm talking to Terry, if that didn't make sense. Fitbit, the quilters and twilters are quilters. There's a lot of overlap there on Fitbit. People go up and they go down, and people get colds, and people travel, and they don't get their steps in. I know that Kristen was traveling and getting lots and lots of steps in during her travels that weren't showing up on Fitbit. I don't know why that was, Kristen. But anyway, so you can sometimes, we all have good weeks and better weeks and worse weeks, but every day from now on, once I get my treadmill desk, it's going to be a good day for me. Everybody on Fitbit, on the Quilters group, watch out, because I am coming after you. And yes, I do mean you, Terry. Thank you very much. That was so loving and compassionate and warm. I know, but I am a little competitive. And yes, and now it's really kind of turning into fall here, and we're about to get some fall-like weather, just in the low 70s, which is fall in North Carolina, some of the trees are starting to turn just slightly, just you see just a little bit, and it's really lovely, and we are really looking forward to that. And again, a thought I was following out and have lost. Oh, I know, just that it gets, but it's starting to get dark early, too. So, and we eat late. The man doesn't get home from Raleigh from work till 6:45 or 7. And so now I haven't really been getting the after-dinner walk. Then maybe I'll start getting a before-dinner walk. Now I'll be getting 20,000 steps a day just by going to work. Lovely. All right, I'm going to end up here. I will try to take a picture of my de-quilting so you can see what my unquilted quilt looks like. It's kind of hard to get pictures of quilting, but maybe it's easier to get pictures of the unquilting. I don't know, but I will put those up. And I hope that I will be back in a week or so having made progress, also having made progress on the mosaic, and who knows what else. Oh, I'm going to do Scrapitude.
I've decided that. I printed out the stuff from Sandy's website over at Quilting for the Rest of Us, and it was great to see that, you know, right now all we're doing is cutting, but I have a lot of scraps, so I would love to do that and give that a try. So if you're interested, go over to Quilting for the Rest of Us, Sandy's blog, and all the info's up about what you need and what you need to cut and have cut by January. Okay, that's it for now. So life's short. Quilt first. See you later. Bye.